Good morning, everyone. It is lovely to see all of you for the Family Bible Hour. I welcome all of you and the interest that you show in the study of the Word of God. I once heard an imaginary story about a boy who was asked by his father about his school exam. And the boy replied like this, my neighbor Ruth and Mark both failed in their exam. So his father replied back, okay, but what about your result? Both of them failed, so I also failed. So that's how some feel when they are asked about their faith life. They are satisfied with their belief, what they see in others. But I pray that after this message, you will have a change of mind. Previous week, when I took the sermon, I was sharing with you three conditions of a lost from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, wherein we see three parables. Parable of the lost sheep, which shows us the danger and the loneliness of the lost. Parable of the lost coin, which shows the value of the lost. And parable of the lost son shows the poverty of the lost. And we understand from scriptures, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. In each of the parables, we saw that there's a great joy in heaven when a repentant sinner comes to Christ and accepts the work of Christ on the cross and makes him his savior. So thus his or her faith life starts. And that prompted me to teach what happens next in a believer's life, a person who is saved. And that's why I titled this sermon, The Result of Faith. For a Bible student, he might say, yes, result of faith or result of justification. Okay. So that's why I choose this chapter, Romans chapter 5. Let us turn our attention to Romans chapter 5. When we study about Romans, it's an epistle of Paul to Romans, which is also sometimes referred to as the Magna Carta, or the Constitution and the Manifesto of a Believer. Paul is writing this epistle specifically keeping in mind believers. And he wants to show them, the believers, that their salvation is based on something which is secure. And it is on a secure foundation of the righteousness of God. That's why the theme of Romans that we see in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greeks. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. When we read Epistle to Romans, we can see Paul is systematically teaching about salvation. And the whole mankind is divided into three groups of a heathen, a Gentile, pagan moralizer, and a Jew, and is presented before God, who is a judge, and all of them are found to be guilty because of their sin and worthy for death, that is eternal separation from a holy God. But God in his eternal mercy shows them a way through our Lord Jesus Christ, who paid a penalty for his sin, and when he was raised up on the third day. And when a repentant sinner puts his faith on the work of Christ, he becomes his savior, and he is justified. Now let us turn our attention to this chapter, Romans chapter 5, starting from verse 1. We read it in our worship time also. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As Brother Larry was mentioning, if something is called therefore, something is there connecting on the few verses above. Let us read also Romans chapter 4, two verses before. Romans chapter 4, verse 24 onwards. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Word justification is a term that we see in the courtroom, to be justified or to be declared righteous. It is a sentence of a judge who declares so-and-so person has not committed a crime, or he is cleared of that. So we see here, when a person puts his faith on the work of Christ, he is declared as justified by the Lord. That means the righteousness of God is imputed to that person or accounted to a person. And this righteousness of God is by faith and not by works. In other words, faith is simply believing in what God has said. God sent a message through his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, and he offers forgiveness of sin to anyone who puts his faith on the work of Christ. And it thus starts his faith life. So, in verse 1, we see the first result of faith. That is, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first fruit of salvation, or the result of salvation, is that we have peace with God. It reminds us that we have a past. What was the past? Past was we were not in peace with God. Why? Because of our sin, we were enemies with God. Let me turn your attention to Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 shows us our past. It says, and being made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So we see a past for a believer. What was the past? He was, or she was, an enemy to God because of his wicked works, even in his mind. So we see sin had disturbed a relationship that a person had with God. And there was a great breach between God and man. And there was enmity between God and man. But when a person trusts in the work of Christ, and when he or she accepts Jesus as his personal Savior, there is that peace that is maintained. And that peace is an abiding state. It is not a peace that somebody like a hermit going to a remote location, but it is something which is abiding. We see in Middle East nowadays, there is war between two countries. Earlier, the sinner was an enemy to God, but now he is at peace. There is an abiding state in his life. So God starts working in that person, and the peace now he receives is a continuing process that is in his life. Let me turn your attention to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, peace that passeth all understanding. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. So we see a believer, he is at peace with God. Now he has peace of God that is like that is guarding him throughout his life. Another translation says it is like a garrison which protects him. So in whatever situation he has peace with God, and he has peace of God. So first fruit of salvation or faith is that he is having peace with God. Second one, coming back to Romans chapter 5, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. So the second fruit of salvation is that he has access into the grace of God. So a believer is not only having peace of God, now he is having grace of God. A grace, gave a formula of grace is that God's riches at Christ's expense. So a believer is having the riches of God because of what Christ has done for him. So when a person is coming to God, he is now justified and he has a standing before God because of his because of the work of the Son, Lord Jesus Christ. So my standing is perfect, not because of me, but because what Lord Jesus Christ has done. Because Christ is accepted, that's why a believer is accepted before God. Let me turn your attention to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 12. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So the we have access into the grace of God, and we can come boldly to the presence of God. That's what the scriptures is saying. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, the scriptures is telling to a believer, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace and mercy at the time of our need. That is a great hope, and gives a great boldness to a believer. Coming back to Romans chapter 3 verse 2 we read, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So the third fruit of faith we see is that a believer has a hope. That means he has a future that he is looking at. A future which says that he will see God face to face. In 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 and 3 it says like this. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 and 3 says, behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So the third fruit of faith is that he has hope to see God face to face. And this hope is not uncertain. It is sure and certain to happen because of the finished work of Christ on that cross. And this hope assures us that we will share the glory of God one day, and we will see him as he is, and we shall be like him. And let me turn your attention to Romans chapter 15 verse 13. Romans chapter 15 verse 13. Romans chapter 15 verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of Holy Ghost. So in 1 John we saw that we will see him face to face, and we will be like him. And every man that had this hope will purify himself. That means this hope will sanctify us in our journey to Zion. And this, here we see a God of hope. The scriptures is telling us that the scriptures requires us that we increase in hope through the scriptures. That we should fill, the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Fourth fruit of faith is in verse 3. To 5. Romans chapter 5 verse 3 to 5. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. So we see the fourth fruit of faith is joy in tribulation. Here in KJV it says, glory in tribulation. Some of the other translations says joy in tribulation. It's not that a believer enjoys tribulation, but he sees through the tribulation the very end is hope. So a believer, even though he has problems in his life, he may be having tough time in his life, but he can see through the tribulation there is a hope in the end that he will see God face to face. So the scriptures tells that we are called to glory in tribulation. The word tribulation is not something that is there for our ongoing problems or normal pressures in our life, but it is the troubles that a believer faces because he is a Christian. We understand, because when we are Christians, we have some limitations when we cannot engage as like a world, and we might have to go through lot of problems at our workplace or at our school or at outside. But let me remind you that the scriptures tells us that we should glory in tribulation. That means we should have joy in tribulation. That means even after this, we have hope in the very end. So the fruit of faith gives us a perspective to look beyond our suffering to its divine intended end. That is a hope that we have. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul is telling, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice in the Lord. Paul is writing that epistle when he is in a prison. And he is writing, rejoice in the Lord. That's what this, the message for us as believers is, that look beyond the suffering that we have today, because the very intention of this is hope that we have in Christ. So the joy that is mentioned here is not something, that the world is saying happiness, because happiness is something related to happenings in our life. So if I have an iPhone 11, tomorrow iPhone 12 will come. So happiness, but that is not what is intended here. It is something. It is a joy in the Lord. That means if a believer loses everything in his life, still he has joy because it is secured in Christ. Further, we see we see in verse 3, we glory in tribulation also, knowing tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. In some of the translation, experience is told as character. So how do we build a Christian character? When we grow in obedience, when we resist the devil, then we build up a Christian character. Let me turn your attention to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. We see a person who was obedient in his faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after received for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. We know the story of Abraham. Abraham was living in the Ur of the Chaldeans, and he was asked by God, go to a land that I will show you. And he obeyed. He did not know where he has to go, but he obeyed because it was by faith Abraham ventured out to that place. Further, we know where God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only begotten son, Isaac. He obeyed. So we see a growing obedience will be there in a believer's life when he is saved. Second, then when we are on our spiritual journey to Zion, there is devil or Satan always attacking a believer. Let me turn your attention to Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Let me remind you, my brethren, that Satan is always after a believer. So the scripture is telling, God has given you armor of God, which is like a shield protecting us from our enemy, Satan. When he is throwing fiery darts at a believer, he should use the shield of faith to overcome temptation, overcome trials in his life. Thus, we build our Christian character. Now, fifth fruit of salvation, we see in verse 5, Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. Further, it says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the fifth fruit where we see of salvation is the love of God. Here it is not referring to our love to God, but rather God's love towards us. Verse 6 on verse 6 to 10 shows us four qualifications that we had because of why the Lord was loving us. It says, verse 6, We were without strength. We did not have any strength in our life. Still, God loves us. Verse 6, we see, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Second qualification, we were ungodly. We were without strength. We were ungodly. The third qualification, in verse 8, while we were yet sinners, we were without strength. We were ungodly. We were sinners. And further in verse 10, we says, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. So we see, we didn't have any qualification to receive God's love. But still, God demonstrated His love towards us. That we see in verse 8. But God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were on our lowly position, when we were in sin, God showed, lavished His love towards us by sending His only Son, Jesus Christ, as a penalty for our sin. And He has poured out the same love in our hearts and in your heart, so that this love should overflow from our hearts to others in our life. And that is why the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, the first fruit that we see is love. So the love that God has shown on the cross is already being shed in our hearts, should overflow to others around us, and it should be shown as a fruit of Spirit in our life. In 1 John chapter 4 verse 8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So in our relationship with our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues, the love of God should be manifested even with our neighbor in where we live. So this love should be evident in our testimony to the world. And when we show that, the world will know Christ through our life. In Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 says, faith which worketh by love. So what is the outworking of faith? Is love. Faith which worketh by love. So a genuine faith proves itself by the works of love. Moving forward, the sixth fruit of salvation we see in Romans chapter 5 verse 5. Last portion says, love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For a believer, there is a great joy because there is continual indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Lord did not just tell, okay, I am saved you, now I will see you in heaven. No, the Lord gave His Holy Spirit as an indwelling spirit in your and my heart. In Romans, when we read the book of Romans, we see in Romans chapter 1 verse 4, let me read it for you. We see the work of Christ in that verse. Romans chapter 1 verse 4. And declared to be Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Here in verse 1, Paul is giving an introduction to salvation or gospel. And here we see the work of Christ. We see Holy Spirit has been mentioned in verse 4. After this, the word Holy Spirit is not at all mentioned till we come to this verse in Romans chapter 5 verse 4, when a believer has already accepted, when a sinner has accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. Now the Holy Spirit is indwelling in him, never to leave him. And there is a seal on him that he is a property of God. Holy Spirit, after the salvation, he indwells in me, and he comes and he seals me for eternity. And that is a promise, and he will never leave me nor forsake me. So now the work that I show to others should be evident that I have indwelling Holy Spirit in my life. So that was the sixth fruit of salvation. The seventh fruit of faith is in verse 9. We see Romans chapter 5 verse 9. We see the seventh fruit of faith. It says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. So the seventh fruit of faith is that we will be saved from wrath. We know this world is kept for Lord's punishment on the wicked. For a believer, he has to be confident, because we will not be there when the world is going through the great tribulation. God's love towards me were showed on that cross when he died for my sins and your sins. And when we put our faith in the finished work of Christ, let me remind you, as believers, we should be confident that we will not be here when the great tribulation will be there, because the church and the believers will be moved away, and they will be with Christ for an ever and ever. So from this passage in Romans chapter 5, we saw seven fruit of faith or result of faith. First was peace with God, which shows us our past. Once we were enemies to God, now we have peace with God and we have the peace of God. Second, we have access into the grace of God, that is our present, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace anytime, anywhere. And third is a hope that we have, that one day we will see him face to face, that shows our future. Fourth is that we have joy in tribulation, because the very end of tribulation is hope, that is hope that we have in Christ. Fifth fruit or result of faith is the love of God. That should be evident in our life when we are meeting with our friends and neighbors and our colleagues when we are outside in the world. Sixth is continual indwelling of Holy Spirit within a believer. Seventh is that we are saved from the wrath, that is, the world will see at the great tribulation, wherein God's wrath will be poured on wickedness. May these words help us and encourage us in our spiritual journey. May the name of the Lord be glorified.